Let me ask you a question this morning. Is there any area of your life which you are hesitant to turn over to the complete control of Jesus for fear that he will mess up what you're comfortable with in your life? I mean, you know, you're comfortable with the way it is. You like your life the way it is in this particular area. And you're just kind of like, God, you're fine over there, but don't mess up my life over here. And so you're hesitant just to say, Lord, this area of my life belongs completely to you. Because I want to look this morning at a group that had that problem. And to understand our text this morning out of John, we need a little bit of history. And you may be aware, I'm a history major in college, so I love history. But to understand this, you need to understand the history of what was going on in Israel. Because Jesus, he's just about to the time where he goes to the Passover to be crucified. And that is the year 30 A.D., in fact, the passage we're reading in, it is January, the month of January in 30 A.D. The months we have today, they had the same months in those days. Julius Caesar started these months in 45 B.C. So it was January of the year 30 A.D., as we call it today. But to understand the passage, we have to back up 100 years, or about 103 years to be exact. 63 B.C., there was a problem in Israel. See, the king of Israel had died. Israel was an independent country. Their king had died. And not only was he king, he was king, he was high priest, and he was commander of the army, all three. Held all three roles. Now, he wasn't of the tribe of Levi. Never should have been the high priest, but he was. And so he held three roles. Now, he had two sons. His firstborn son, John, said, "Can't wait till dad dies and I'm king." His secondborn son, Ari, said, "I can't wait till dad dies. I'm going to be king when he dies." And the king knew both his sons wanted the job. And so before the king died, he called all his family and the leaders in, said, "I've made my decision." He said, "When I die, my wife is going to rule as queen, and neither of the boys get to be king. So my wife Salome, she will be queen of Israel. My firstborn John is going to be high priest, and my secondborn Ari is going to be the head general." So that was the decision. And for 10 years, things rocked along pretty well until the queen died. Then which of the boys was going to take over? And see, the two boys, let me tell you something about them. They were members of two different political parties they had in Israel in those days. And if you think the parties today in Washington, D.C. don't get along, you don't know the half of it compared to ancient Israel. They had firstborn son John. He was a member of the Pharisees. He said, "We are going to rule. I'm taking over as king." And so he stepped in as king. Well, the younger son, Ari, he was a member of the Sadducee party. And they didn't like the Pharisees. And they said, "We'll see about this." And so firstborn John, Pharisee John, said, "I'm now king. My first order as king is I'm kicking all the Sadducees out of Jerusalem. I'm in charge of the temple. I'm king. You're out of here." And so Ari and all the Sadducees, they had to leave town. So Ari went down to Jericho, and he built a fortress down here. And he said, "Just wait, I'm going to be back. I'll be king." Well, John ruled for 2 years with the Pharisees. And after a couple of years, Ari got his army together. John said, "I'm putting an end to him." And so John and the Pharisees marched down to Jericho, and they did battle with the Sadducees. And in fact, let me pull out. I even put a slide up of that for you. Let me put it on the screen. They had the War of Succession. So the Pharisees marched down to Jericho. The Sadducees, they had a big fight down in Jericho. But when it was said and done, the Sadducees won. And so they chased those Pharisees all the way back to Jerusalem. And Ari the Sadducee, he said, "Older brother, I'll make you a deal." He said, "I'm going to be king. I'm going to be high priest. And I'm going to be commander of the army. But here's your deal. If you won't make trouble for me, I will let you be in charge of the finances of the temple. And all the money you make off the money changers and selling animals in the temple, you can keep all the money because there's a lot of money to be made there." And so John the Pharisee said, "Okay, I'll keep the money. You can have the job." But John the Pharisee wasn't happy with that. So here's what he did. He went over to Rome. He said, now you Romans, you're trying to build an empire, and I know that. I'll make you a deal. If you will help me get to be king of Israel again, I'll give you part of my territory. And the Romans said, well, we'll take the deal. And so the next thing you know, John is marching back to Jerusalem with an army of Roman soldiers. And the Romans come in, they lay siege to Jerusalem. One of John's Pharisee friends opens up a secret door, and the Romans all come in. They take over the whole city. And the Romans say, well, now that we're in charge, we have a new deal. We're not taking part of your territory. We're taking all of your territory. You now belong to Rome. And they said, now, John, you don't get to be king because we're in charge, but we'll let you be high priest. But as long as you're high priest, you have to do what we say and send us the tax money. And we're going to leave some soldiers here to make sure we get our money. Now, by the time Jesus came along, it was 100 years later. Romans hadn't left yet. They were still there. And so John said, all right, I'll do it. They took Arrie and they carried him back to Rome as a prisoner. But you know, after a few years, they had a civil war over here in Rome, and a guy named Augustus, Caesar, took over. And Augustus said, Arrie, I like you. I'm sending you back to be in charge as high priest. And so Arrie went back. He kicked John out. He said, I'm high priest. Now the Sadducees are back in charge. And they kept fighting back and forth with those two brothers until finally the Romans got tired of it. Augustus said, you guys, you Pharisees and Sadducees, you just can't get along with each other. You can't keep the peace. I'm kicking you both out. So he kicked them both out, and he put an old war buddy of his by the name of Herod in charge. And so Herod showed up in town, and he became king, and he ruled for about 40 years. But Herod's son, after Herod died, said, that's a lousy job, that one of those Sadducees went back to Rome. And that Sadducee, his name was Annas. And Annas said, look, Herod's doing a lousy job. People are going to rebel. If you put me in charge as high priest again and let me have a Jewish council, I'll get your money and I'll keep the peace. So the Romans said, all right, we're kicking Herod out. We're putting the Pharisees and Sadducees back in charge. But they said, this is your last chance. They said, if you mess up this time, we're going to be back and that'll be the end of you. And so he said, all right. So Annas went back, and he became the high priest in charge of the ruling council. Now Herod's son was still in charge up north in Galilee and over across on the other side of the river. But here in Jerusalem and Judea, the Sadducees were now back in charge. But the Romans said you had to work with the Pharisees. So they made a council of both of them, Pharisees and Sadducees, 70 guys, and they ruled together. But, you know, after a while they got mad at Annas. And the Romans said, Annas, you're fired. We're making your son high priest. And they got mad at the son and fired him and made the next son high priest. Got fired him, made the next son high priest. Fired him, made the next son high priest. Fired him, made the son-in-law, Caiaphas the high priest. But all this time, Annas was still the one running things. His son, his son-in-law, he didn't care. He was the power to be in Jerusalem. Remember when Jesus was crucified? Know whose house they took him to? Annas's house. He hadn't been high priest all the way down the line, but he was still running things. All right. That was 25 years before Jesus came in and raised Lazarus from the dead. For 25 years, the Pharisees and Sadducees had been ruling things again. For 25 years, Annas had been in power, or one of his sons or son-in-law was, and now Jesus was messing things up. You know, first, Jesus fed 5,000 people with a few fish and loaves, and everybody was talking about Jesus. And then it got worse. Then there was a blind man. He'd been born blind, and all his life had been blind, and Jesus healed him, and he was walking around Jerusalem, and everybody knew he'd been blind. But Jesus finally crossed the line. Jesus went out to a graveyard, found a guy who'd been dead for 4 days, said, Lazarus, come forth. And the fella came hopping out of the grave. And those Pharisees and Sadducees, they said, that's across the line. I mean, it's bad enough to feed 5,000 with a few fish and loaves. It's bad enough to heal a man who's been born blind. But you raise a man who's been dead 4 days, that's across the line. So they called an emergency meeting of their Jewish high council. And they got together in this meeting. And watch. It says in John 11:47 that the chief priests, those are the Sadducees, and the Pharisees, they gathered in their high council. And they said, "What shall we do? This man works many signs. If we let him alone like this, everyone will believe in him." Meaning everyone will believe he's the Messiah. Everyone will believe he's the one who's come to free us from the Romans. Everyone's going to believe this. And the Romans will come and they're going to take away both our place and our nation. They said, "Look, we've been back in power for 25 years. But this guy Jesus, he's going to do these miracles. People are going to say he's the Messiah. He's going to be the new king. And they're going to want to rebel against Rome. And Rome's going to come. They're going to kick us out of our place. We're going to lose our job. We're going to lose our power." They said, "We've got to do something about this." And watch. One of them, Caiaphas. Remember who Caiaphas was? Remember Annas was the high priest. And he got fired. And his son-in-law. That was Caiaphas. And so he was the Roman official high priest. Even though Annas was really the one in power. It says one of them, Caiaphas, being the official high priest that year, he said to them, "You know nothing at all." He said, "Nor do you consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people and not that the whole nation should perish." He said, "Look, this Jesus, they're all going to follow him as Messiah. The best thing we can do is kill Jesus. Better for one man to die than for the whole nation to be taken over by Rome and martial law and us be out of a job." So he said, "We have to kill Jesus." And so the council that day, they got together and they decided no more playing, no more trying to stir up a mob or trouble. They said, "We're going to the Romans. We're going to accuse Jesus of treason. We're going to have Jesus crucified on a cross." So they made the decision that day, Jesus shall die. But listen to what John says. John 11:51. John says, "Now this he did not say on his own authority, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation." So that Caiaphas high priest that year, he didn't know it, but he was making a prophecy. And that prophecy was that Jesus would die on the cross for the whole nation to forgive their sins. See, that was a prophecy about the death of Jesus. But he went on, he said, "And not only for that nation, but also that he would gather together in one the children of God who were scattered abroad." So he was saying Jesus wasn't just going to die for the Jewish nation. And watch it. Over in Romans it says one day all Israel will be saved. One day all Israel will come to faith in Jesus. But he said he was prophesying that Jesus died not just for the Jewish people. That he died for all the children of God wherever they may be. Now let's step out of 30 AD. Let's forward 60 years to 90 AD. 60 years after Jesus died, John, that's when John wrote this. And John is now a pastor over in Western Turkey, and half of his church is Jewish and half of his church is Greek. They're not Jewish. And John says they're all children of God. They've all been gathered together. Look what he said in John 1:12. In John 1:12 he said, "As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name." See, when he said in chapter 11 that Jesus died to gather all the children of God together, he said the children of God are those who have believed that Jesus is the Messiah. Those who have believed that he's God who came to this world, willingly went to a cross, and died for their sins that they might be forgiven. He said, those are who the children of God are. And he says, if anyone calls on the name of the Lord, he will be saved and become a child of God. And he goes on there in John 1:12. He says in verse 13, he says, who were born not of blood, not just Jewish because they descended from Abraham and had Abraham's blood in them. That's not what makes them a child of God. It says not of the will of the flesh, because I tried hard and worked hard and I'm a child. It says it's not of the will of man, because your mother or father, somebody else decided you ought to be a Christian. It says, no, it's of God. Because you've believed personally in God and that Jesus is the Son of God who died on the cross for you. See, Caiaphas was making a prophecy that Jesus was to die for you and me. But let's finish out the chapter in verse 53. It says, from that day on, they plotted to put Jesus to death. Therefore, Jesus no longer walked openly among the Jews, but went from there to the country near the wilderness, to a city called Ephraim. And there he remained with his disciples. Put just a map up for a second. You know, Jesus was over, he was staying in Bethany over with Mary and Martha and Lazarus outside of Jerusalem. And it says after they plotted to put him to death and put the warrant out, it says he left Judea, that area around Jerusalem, and he crossed the river over to the other side of the river, which was still controlled by one of Herod's sons, to a place, the wilderness of Ephraim was on this side of the river. The tribe of Ephraim was on the other, but the wilderness of Ephraim was over here. And so he went to a town out of the high priest's jurisdiction. And he said, I'll be back for the Passover. I'll be back. But here's my question for you. See, are you more concerned with your position? Are you more concerned about some area of your life than you are with accepting Jesus as king? See, the high priest Caiaphas and that ruling council, they said, we don't want Jesus to be king, because then we'll be out of a job and we want control of what goes on. But you know, that still works today. Are you willing to say, hey, I'm going to give up control of my life, control of anything in my life, to make Jesus my king? Are you willing to have Jesus the king over every area of your life? Now the question in Jerusalem was, would Jesus come back for the Passover? Remember, he had crossed the river. He was going to come back across the river for Passover. He said, I know they put a warrant out for my death, and I'm going to die at Passover. And I'm going to die not just for the Jewish people, but that I can gather all the children of God together into one church. So that's why Jesus went to the cross. He went to the cross not because the high priest decided to put him to death. He went to the cross because he willingly made that choice so that you and I would have the option of saying, Lord, I want you to be king of every area of my life. I don't want to hold on to my own authority and power, but I want you as king of every area of my life. Are you willing to make that decision this morning? Are you willing to say, Lord Jesus, I want you, Lord, over my home life, my children, my marriage. I want you, Lord, over my parents. I want you, Lord, over my finances. Lord, over my job. Lord, over my school. Lord, over my hobbies. Lord, over my habits. Lord, over what I watch on the internet. Lord, over what I watch on TV. Lord, over what I read. Lord, over where I go. Lord, over what I say. I want you, Lord, over everything. I want you in charge. Are you willing to make that decision this morning? We're going to sing in just a moment a Christmas song. It says, O come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Born the King. See, Jesus came to be King. Will you make him King of your life? Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, I thank you that Jesus came to be king of the planet and king individually of each of our lives. And Father, I pray for each individual here, and Father, pray for myself included, that Father, you would search me and try me and know my heart, that you'd see if there's any way in any area of my life that Father, I'm just holding on to, I'm saying I'm the ruling council in this area, Lord. And I don't need Jesus to step in and be king. Father, I pray you'd reveal that in my life. And Father, my heart's desire is that Jesus be king of each and every area of my life. And Father, I pray for each individual here that as we sing, come and behold him born the king of angels, that Father, he'd also be the king of each and every area of our life, that we'd not have any area we'd hold back on. Father, I thank you that Jesus went to that cross that we might become the children of God. And Father, I pray for some here this morning, and they've not made that personal decision. They may think, well, because my mother or my father or because I've been working hard, that's why I'm a child of God. But they'd come this morning and say, the only way I can be a child of God is through believing that Jesus is the Lord of the universe who died on the cross for me and committing my life to him. And Father, I pray this morning they, in sincerity in their own heart, say, Lord Jesus Christ, be king of my life. Forgive me for all the times I've disobeyed and gone my own way and gone astray. But I'm coming home. I commit my life to be your follower. I believe in Jesus. Father, I pray they'd make that commitment. For some here this morning, not an active member of a local church, Father, I pray that you'd speak to their heart. And Father, whether it's as we sing this song, Father, they can come forward and just say, Pastor, I'd like to be a part of the First Baptist family. Or Father, they can fill out that card in the pew in front of them, that yellow card, and simply say, I'm interested in church membership, and put their name and address and drop it in the offering plate so I can get in touch with them this week. But Father, either way, I pray you'd speak to each one who needs a church home. And Father, I pray for each of us here this morning that Father, you'd speak to our hearts, that we would give you control of each and every area of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.